I got this last week, the secretaries gave me a number of folks who had signed up this year to read our Bibles through, and we're up to 140 folks. So that's a record. That's great. And let's encourage each other to continue what we began. Do you remember, for some of us it's a stretch, but remember when you were a child and so many things were exciting, and everything was just new. You could find adventure in the forest, or if, like I grew up on the riverbank, you could find adventure on the riverbank or in the pasture or in the creek. You could turn over an old rotten log and just sit in wonderment. Be excited as bugs and worms and grubs and lizards scurried away frantically searching for a new hiding place. And we were fascinated by the fragile white and yellow plant stems as they grew long and curled upward, reaching for the sunlight. Or wade in a shallow creek and feel the sand between our toes, and see little water creatures darting away, and we tried to catch some to take some of the wonderment home with us. Or spending an evening chasing lightning bugs, put them in a jar beside our bed. Remember playing in the rain and seeking out every single puddle and splashing in it? Remember the thrill of a big rope swing as someone pushed you high and you just kept begging, higher, push me higher. We felt like we were flying, didn't we? Or just laying back in the grass and finding animals and boats and faces in the clouds. But now, I don't particularly like the beach because sand gets in everything. In fact, when I go, I think about ruining a good camera because one single grain of sand got in it and ruined it. We don't kick over that old rotten log anymore because there's bugs under there. And we don't wade in the creek barefoot anymore because we might hurt our foot. Or we might stumble and fall in and get wet. And we don't stand in the rain anymore. We avoid all the puddles, and we don't take the time to lay back in the grass or to swing. One of the sad realities of life is that for too many of us, growing up means that we lose the wonder in life. And that handsome, strong knight that you dreamed of marrying has turned into a grumpy old man. Fat and bald, big red nose, bloodshot eyes. But ladies, let me tell you something about guys that you could learn from. Even though we do look like that, we still think we're the finest looking thing walking down the street. Isn't that interesting? That sweet, smiling, eager to please young bride. Well, it's not very politically correct to say anything about her, is it? You can say whatever you want to about the guy, and everybody thinks it's funny, but you had better be careful what you say about the bride, hadn't you? So I'll be politically correct and pass. I had something to say, but it would be better. Wisdom says that I probably shouldn't. Solomon wrote a really interesting book, kind of strange, Ecclesiastes. And it's not written from the standpoint of a young man who's meeting life head on, but now he's old and his body's failing. And he still offers counsel, but now his advice is different than it's been. In fact, if you're just real honest about it, it's a bit pessimistic, isn't it? In fact, if you're honest about it, it's really pessimistic. Many of you won't recognize this name, but a few of you will. Ogden Nash said, "Old age begins and middle age ends the day that your descendants outnumber your friends." And there are some things that used to be funny that are not so funny anymore. Whenever I was a young man, we used to joke about old men and things that they did and sounds that they made, but those things are not nearly as funny as they used to be. Solomon has some interesting words of advice for young people, and they're not the kind of words that you would probably expect to find in your Bible. He says, and I'll tell you where it is in just a moment, but I want you to listen without turning there right now. He says, "Life is sweet and pleases the eye. It pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all." And then he says, "Be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see." Now, I just read that from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 through the first part of verse 9. And so he gives some advice to young people, and he says, enjoy life. And don't unnecessarily complicate your life and make it difficult while you're young. Youth is the time to acquire skills, to experience adventure, to enjoy life. Enjoy lots of energy that you have. And so have fun. Now that's kind of surprising, isn't it? But he also says, remember your Creator during these years. In other words, in your fun, keep it clean. Don't develop habits that will complicate your life. Don't get involved with sin that grabs hold of you and won't let go. And while you're setting patterns for your future, center those patterns of your life around God. In your youthful enthusiasm, don't forget, he says in chapter 11, verse 9, "But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." And so, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Solomon then has an allegory on aging. And sometime we'll take the time to go through and look at each one of them because it's really pretty humorous and most of you are familiar with it. It begins in chapter 12, verse 1, actually. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come," or the evil days, the King James Version says. "And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them." And then he begins a description of aging. "Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they're few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." This is an allegory about physical powers and mental powers fading. He talks about the hands that tremble, the legs and the back that loses its strength, the teeth that fall out, the eyes that grow dim, and the faintest sound awakens you, but paradoxically, you can't hear well. You're afraid of losing your balance and falling. White hair resembles the grayish-white blossoms of the almond tree, and that quick, skipping gait is more now like dragging along. The lamp and the pitcher being broken are evidently referring to the diminished mental and physical faculties that we experience. Ray Stedman made some humorous observations about this passage. He says, just when your face clears up, your mind begins to go. Says your knees buckle when your belt won't. And I told you some of those things are really funny when you're young. They're not nearly as funny when you get older. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 19. And I'd like to make a contrast between these two passages. Psalm 19 is, I would like to share, is the flip side of what we've just looked at. That what we've just looked at is one of the realities of life. That we do, age does bring diminished abilities. Mentally, physically, and pretty much every other way in our lives. And we fight it, and we, as well we should. And we keep it from the door as long as we're able to. But sooner or later, the things begin to happen. And those things that he talked about in this allegory begin to happen in our lives. And that's a reality that we have to live with. And it's not very fun, but it's real. But there are some things that, regardless of what your circumstances and situation is, you can always rejoice in some things in life. And that's what I'd like to remind us of this morning. There's always something that we can rejoice in. And Psalm 19, I would suggest to you, has three things that we can always rejoice in. The first one is we can always rejoice in God's creation if we'll take the time to do it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Don't you like the way that he uses words to draw this picture? He's talking about the heavens and the creation, and he says, they pour forth speech day and night. If you'll just listen to God's creation, it's talking to you. It's saying something to you if you'll take the time to listen to it. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Excuse me, I skipped down on you, didn't I? There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Regardless of where you live, the heavens declare God's glory. And the creation is speaking to you. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion running, rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And so regardless of what our situation is and circumstances in life, even if it is the debilitating effects of aging, if we will but take the time to go out and sometimes physically do this, just go out somewhere and sit and listen. Listen to what creation is telling you about God. And let your heart rejoice in God's creation. And in being a part of that creation. And how utterly fantastic it is. And you look at the animals and you look at the birds and you look at the sun and the stars and the plants. And rejoice. And be amazed. Let yourself. Don't lose the wonder of life. We knew it when we were children. We saw it and we were amazed at those things. But somewhere along the way, we let our lives get so busy and so tied up that we just pass right by anymore. And we don't see it. We don't have time to smell the roses. We don't have time to sit and watch a sunset or get up early and watch the sun come up. We just have too many things to do in our life. And it occurs to me as I watch us, meaning myself too, that sometimes we get our life into this success loop, you know, where we're drawing a good salary or we're working or we're struggling or we're on that wheel or whatever you want to, however you want to denote it. And that's all that there is. We just go go through the motions. And Monday morning we start this and we go till Friday evening, and then we look forward to this and we do this, and then Monday morning starts back over. And at some point you just want to stop and say, why? Why am I doing this? Why? What is all this about? Is there not something more in life than just earning some money? Is there not something more in life than just having a job or being what people call successful? Isn't there something more in life that we can look for? There's some wonder that God created in His creation that He intends for us to see. And then verse 7 through 11, the law of the Lord is perfect. He goes from the creation now to God's revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. We can always rejoice in God's revelation. He didn't leave us here on this earth without a plan, without a map, without a light, without directions to tell us what to do in our lives and where to go. And if we'll but listen to them and rejoice in God's word, at how incredible it is that it touches, there's not one iota of our lives that's not touched by God's word. Every single problem that you will ever have in your life is addressed in God's word, either directly with specific instructions or by principle. Every single thing that can ever possibly happen to you in this life, God has addressed. And He tells us how to conduct ourselves and how to live. And as we look at that, then we can rejoice in God. And He said, and we're enamored with gold. One of the things that as a young man that I was pretty enamored with, at least for a while until it turned into work, was honey. We had lots of bees and we had beehives. We would have as many as 30 beehives. And so during the summertime, I worked with bees a lot and extracted their honey, stole their honey from them. And we sold their honey. And I really got fascinated with honey and bees and learned a pretty good bit about it. It's incredible. And honey is said to be the one completely pure, germ-free product on this globe. And God produced it, and the taste of it is unique, isn't it? And its properties are incredible. And He said, but for someone, particularly in an ancient world where they didn't have all the sweets that we have and all the products that taste sweet that are not really sweet, but kind of fool our senses into thinking that they are, then honey was a really, really precious commodity. And it was something really valuable. And to think of the taste of honey and that sweetness, that whenever that wasn't a regular part of our diet, was really, really something special. How many of us have let God's word slip to the point that it's not really something special when we open God's word and we read it and we let that soak into our souls? Regardless of what your situation or circumstances in you are, you can rejoice in God's revelation. And then beginning in verse 12, who can discern His errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. What? Willful sins. They do that, don't they? Whenever a person becomes involved in something that is sinful, every single sinful sin is habitual. Every single sin is habitual. Habit forming. Name one that's not. If they weren't, they'd be easy to discard in our life and get rid of. But there's something about sin that gets hold of some part of our body or some part of our mind, and it will not let go. And whenever you continually practice that, you open your life, you open your mind, you open your heart up to let sin take control of it. He says, may my willful sins not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We can rejoice in God's salvation, can't we? And I think that we do even more. One of the things that as we grow older, if we've lived for the Lord, we rejoice in that salvation even more as time comes nearer for us to leave this life. You probably heard about the kids that smeared some Limburger cheese on the old man's mustache while he was asleep. When he woke up, he said, "This bed stinks." And he got out of bed, and when he got out of bed and walked around the room, he said, "No, this room stinks." And he walked out of the room into other part of the house, and he decided that the whole house stunk. And he went outside, and he said, "No, the whole world stinks." Well, sometimes when you think the whole world stinks, the problem is right under your nose. Don't let life rob you of awe for God and His blessings in our lives. This life, this body, it's temporary, but you're not. You were made for eternal habitations, and you will dwell somewhere eternally. Don't let this life, this body, rob you of the joy and rejoicing and faith in God's promises. And as we get older, we're just getting nearer to the realities of everything that God's promised us, the realities of eternity. And if you're not a Christian, aging can be devastating and disastrous. But if you're a child of God, there's always room. There's always reason and purpose that gives us reason to rejoice. Don't wait in your life to do what you know is right. There is no convenient time in life. There is no time when everything just comes together and you say, "Well, this seems like the time when I ought to become a Christian. This seems like the time when I ought to start doing this that I know is right." That time won't come in your life. It's just going to have to be that you decide one day, living for God and doing what is right and securing my future is more important than all these things that the world has to offer. And if you never come to that point in your life, then you'll just continue to put it off. You'll just continue allowing sin to control your life. And you'll continue to grow less and less a part of what God has designed for you. You know, if you are not a Christian here this morning, and you recognize that sin has separated you from God, you need to know that Jesus Christ came to reconcile you to God. He came so that you could have something done about your sins, so that you could have God's very own righteousness. And so this morning, if you'll repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and make Him the ruler of your life and make a determination in your heart that you're going to let God control your life from this point on, then He has made a way for you to crucify that old sinful nature and to rise in a perfectly new person. And that is through baptism. And if you're here this morning and you've not become a child of God, God has spared your life to bring you to this point just for this very reason. There is no other reason that is nearly as important as Him giving you the opportunity to become a Christian. Or if as a Christian you realize that you've let sin come back into your life and retake control, it's only with God's help that you can break that. It's God's invitation to you. While brothers and sisters encourage you, let's stand and sing.